Powering Tomorrow, der Podcast vom Verbund X.
You have a grid in the middle that is the same as 20 years ago. So the only thing that lets this physical infrastructure to cope is the intelligence. The energy transition, in my opinion, will not fail because we don't build enough wind and solar. It will fail because we can't predict it well enough. When you have bad market conditions, you require more intelligence and more accuracy.
Welcome to Empowering Tomorrow, the podcast from Verbund X. Together with top experts, we explore the future of energy in Europe. We talk about innovations, technologies, and bold initiatives that are already shaping a sustainable energy future today. How can we reach a climate-neutral Europe? How can we close the innovation gap? These are the questions we will tackle in this podcast. My name is Franz Zöchbauer. I am the Managing Director of Verbund X, the Innovation and Venture Unit of Verbund, Austria's leading energy company. Let's get started. Welcome to Empowering Tomorrow, the podcast where we explore the ideas, the technologies and people shaping the future of energy. I'm Franz Zöchbauer, Managing Director of Verbund X, the Innovation and Venture Capital Unit of Verbund, Austria's leading energy company. In this third season, our founder editions, we're putting the spotlight on the entrepreneurs from the Verbund X venture portfolio. These are the builders working at the forefront of the energy transition, developing solutions that will define how we produce, manage and consume energy in the years to come. Today's guest is Mate Stradan, co-founder and CEO of Ogre.ai, a fast-growing startup at the cutting edge of energy forecasting. Welcome, Mate.
Hello, Franz. Thank you for the invitation.
Ogre.ai develops advanced AI-powered models to help energy companies better predict both production and demand, a capability that is becoming increasingly important in the energy transition. In this episode, we will dive into Mate's personal journey into energy innovation, the founding story behind Ogre.ai, and real-world challenges of building a startup in a rapidly evolving and often unpredictable energy landscape. And talk also about the collaboration between Ogre.ai and Verbund. So, Mate, it's really great to have you with us today. But before we talk about Ogre.ai, can you take us back and share how your own journey led you to the energy innovation?
Sure. Thank you, Franz. What I can say is that I had no plans at the beginning to go into energy business, probably like every other person in the startup industry. I have a background in business and finance as a degree, and my career started off in 2006 as a consultant. My luck was that in 2009-2010, I got a first-hand witness into the regulatory changes in Romania with respect to the balancing market. And hence, I got a first-hand witness into basically what it means to forecast, what it means to nominate values to the energy markets. And this is how I basically got the insights into how much money was being lost. Being already passionate about technology and having spent a lot of years studying things such as programming, networking, as many as other unrelated things to energy, I basically put my thirst for technical knowledge and background, and I put it to the test in a real world problem, basically.
Can you take us back maybe to a specific moment where the idea of Ogre.ai was first emerged?
Sure. I think it was a process more than it was just one moment. I think it was threefold. So first and foremost, what I mentioned was the insights from the balancing market were extremely important. And I witnessed some operators losing up to 40% of their revenue, as I remember, due to forecasting inaccuracies. Secondly, I had some insights that were brought about by other competitor solutions, which I had the opportunity to work with and install at certain DSOs. And I think thirdly, as any other startup, it's the moment when you are able to put together a great team. So when these three things, I think, happened, this is when the idea came about and the business actually became a proper business, or a proper business idea to catch on to.
Ogre.ai was founded in 2021. And when did you found your co-founders, or so maybe the team, when you said now it's the moment in time to found Ogre.ai? How many months before?
Yeah. Sure. In 2021, I was actually working alone on the first solution, which was for PV forecasting. And only after I built the first solution, I actually met my partners, which was in late 2021. And in 2022, actually, was the moment when we took the first pre-seed round. And this is when we actually started to build, on top of the MVP that I had initially worked on myself. So I think 6 months we were, discussing, talking, planning, going to competitions and benchmarking processes. And in late 2021, we started up the company. So mid-2021, we were working together. And probably at the start of 2021, I was working alone.
Okay, so really one man startup. Okay, that's also quite convincing, yeah? So that you put all your efforts to build it on the scratch from your own, and then after first proof point,
it was
find the other partners.
Yes, it was like every other innovation thing for me. It was a passion. It was something I was very curious about, very driven to solve as a problem. It was a real need, so I was very excited to build it. And I think this energy brought by the other people around me and to build such a great team, it took quite a lot of great energy. Let's see.
Okay, you just pointed out you solve a specific problem in the energy system. Maybe you can explain it a little bit more for our listeners. So which problem are you solving with OGI?
Basically, the problem that we are solving at Energy AI is the need for these operators. So they have a legislative need on a day-to-day basis to forecast the energy quantities that they will produce, the energy quantities that their consumer base will consume, the losses on the grid, etc. So all of this is a mandatory activity, mission critical. And we are helping these operators to forecast better in order to reduce their costs through the balancing activities that I mentioned, and also through the trading activities, which should become more, let's say, efficient by knowing better the quantities that you have available that you will need to acquire. So this is in the simple way what we are doing. And because it is regulatory driven, because it is mandatory, of course, there is a lot of space on the market to work.
Okay, and why it is so critical mission today is that you have really accurate forecasting. We're going in the stage of having a lot of renewables, a lot of immobility in the sector.
Sure.
Why it's really so critical from your point of view?
Sure. Because if we look at what has happened, let's say over the last 10 years, before you had a stable dispatchable base, which has been replaced over the last years by millions of distributed weather-dependent assets, for example. On the demand side, you used to have predictable demand. Now you have the EVs, which are charging on patterns that didn't exist 5 years ago, for example. You have the prosumers, which are generating a lot more energy. You have heat pumps, which were not so common back then, swinging with temperature. And you also have, of course, the elephant in the room, which is now the data center load, which is growing faster than anybody has planned for. So what happens is that at both ends of the system, they're becoming stochastic at the same time. And you have a grid in the middle that is the same as 20 years ago. So the only thing that lets this physical infrastructure to cope is the intelligence behind it, to basically forecast and to manage these, DERs and things connected to the infrastructure. So in essence, without good quality forecasts, I think you have a massive imbalance costs, you curtail more renewables, the frequency is more unstable and so forth. So the energy transition, in my opinion, will not fail because we don't build enough wind and solar. It will fail because we can't predict it well enough to integrate it fast enough and to make the most of it.
Yeah, many thanks. That's a key problem and a massive problem. So you're solving with OGI. If you look back at your founder story, Mate, you founded as a one-man show on OGI in 2021. What were the toughest challenges you met and you have to overcome in these years?
So first and foremost, as you all said, is the team. So building the team and energy and AI is a pretty rare intersection. With human resources, you need people that both understand the sector and people who can build serious machine learning technologies. And both of these people are hard to find. While finding them in the same room is even harder. So this was the first and foremost the hardest thing. Secondly, I think building a product that outperforms the current market, this was very difficult, because in our services, the customer does not really care about the story, the interfaces, pretty presentations. This is a numbers game, so we sell numbers. And they benchmark, our quality versus theirs. So if we're not measurably better, the conversation pretty much ends. So this was very difficult, getting past this threshold in which you are enough performant to sell the solution. And I think thirdly was to build the right references. As you know very well in energy, I think references are the real currency. So one serious customer in production really unlocks the next 10 conversations. So this is also a very valid point for the work with Verbund and the accelerator that I'm sure we'll talk about a bit later that has helped us a lot with the references and the support that you have given us. Thank you.
Okay. You mentioned the first point was finding the right people, where you have found the right people, huh? At the universities, in other countries, in your neighborhood?
I was very fortunate, first of all, to know my co-founder partners that we started the business up with. And one of them being a professor at Oxford University, and now later at UCLA in the States, we had some contacts, let's say, with very remarkable resources that could at least help us with the research side, which sits at the base of the technology and basically the quality of the service that we deliver. So I think this was a very important thing. And this is also an edge that we have within the company because we have a lot of talent access and research access through my partner, Mihai, who is leading the research within the organization and, of course, has supported us in identifying the right people for the right job in terms of machine learning and AI research.
Okay. If you look back at the years on OKRs in the market, there have been several shocks also in the market. No? And the latest ones on the crisis in the Middle East. So how these crises and shocks have also maybe shaped your strategy at OKRI or your products?
Yes, sure. I need some careful framing here because, of course, there's nothing to celebrate in this and what's going on. They have definitely reshaped the European energy markets in lasting ways, I would say. First of all, I would mention that regulatory got a lot harder with price caps. You have windfall rules, emergency interventions, and you have a complex sector that got a lot more complex. We were counting with our team, I think 1-2 years ago, and there were 260 something legislative changes only in Romania with respect to the energy markets. So it's very difficult to operate. So I think this has been a stress. The retail competition, of course, has intensified, and I think all the retailers had a lot of problems with prices spiking, contracts moving, and margins being a lot of compressed compared to the past. And I believe this, in turn, of course, has helped us a bit because every forecast matters more now when you have these very small margins. Let's say the underlying logic is pretty simple, in my opinion. So when you have bad market conditions, you require more intelligence and more accuracy and efficiency. So that in itself increases the demand for our AI technologies. And of course, large margins tolerate inefficiency, while smaller ones do not. In terms of new products, I think this was also something that has changed over the past years. For example, for us, we have built a new solution to help the retailers manage the prosumers portfolio and reduce the imbalances related to that. The legislations have pushed for the prosumers to increase in Europe, for example. So this was also a good part. And if I have to look, 5 years from now, I think there is going to be a huge opportunity for European AI energy startups because energy sovereignty is becoming a big topic. Data center security and data security is becoming a big topic. So I think it's a good environment for us, although, of course, on the basis of something not so good. So this is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Now, many thanks. So there's a clear perspective for scaling a startup like OKRI based on the frameworks and the market conditions. But are there also some issues, for example, in the regulatory framework or in the market that holds you back, bringing the innovation to the market, which has to change in the next years that really startups like you really can scale and make a difference in the future?
Sure. I think there are a few things, especially if we look at the regulatory side. I think there could be a more active push for AI into utilities and with pressure such as regulators that are asking utilities how they are using AI to reduce the waste. You could have regulatory sandboxes to test AI in real use cases, with good security, but with real data so you can really test things out and not just have lab tests. Data privacy frameworks. So this is the problem that we are very afraid of because we see an increase in the security of data, but this does not really go hand in hand with AI and building AI around it. So if you protect data and you do not have access to it, you are not going to be very capable to develop something very worthy. I think the market has helped us recently and should help us, because we had the 15-minute change intervals, as you very well know. So this means more reporting, more data, and of course, this means more business for us. There's more transparency now into the reporting. This should also be helpful for our business. And in terms of the data, let's see, the problems with the data, I think the biggest problem is the standardization of data. So I think it's very, very important to have, you know, machine-readable access to grid and market data. So I think the unitarity of data from DSO to DSO across Europe, to be able to use this fast and efficiently, would be very, very helpful. So the data management does not take 10 years, and it takes, you know, it's built somehow smart from the beginning. So you have a big project in mind, you have a clear strategy, and you do not mess things up. And I think this is about it. What's holding innovation back? I think there's a lot of funding gap here. So, you know, even with startups, you know very well as an investor that you are always pressured to make profits and to make revenue. And this does not always align very well with research. So this has to be some sort of a balance between these two. The sales cycles, this is always, you know, something to worry for startups. When you have 1 year long sales cycles, it's very difficult to plan very well sometimes. And of course, the risk aversion of utilities is the last thing that may pop to my mind, because naturally, and I think this is a very fair point, they are, you know, conservative to work with startups because they want to work with serious companies. So this is something that is expected, but has to be managed somehow. So this is...
If you look back, Matthias, we started not investing, we started in collaborating via the Verbund X Accelerator. What was your experience in working together with Verbund, and where this collaboration also made an impact to the further development of OKRE?
Sure. So first of all, I want to say that, and honestly, the Verbund Accelerator was very different from other accelerators that we participated in. And I think we've been to 4 or 5, if I'm not mistaken. And in my opinion, and very honestly, it was not just a social media event, as we have witnessed in many other numerous companies. This was about a real problem-solving thing. It was a real relationship-building exercise, and with real opportunities. In the most programs that we have seen elsewhere, you know, you get a lot of mentorship and demo days, but you don't really get the opportunity to really work with a company as we have seen here. So very shortly, I would say that Verbund really gave us a real problem on a real system with real consequences, and a clear path to contracting from the very beginning, which is also something very, very important, because with other companies, you know very well, this is not really the target. So for us, you know, with Verbund, of course, you may remember we did the demand forecasting for EVs. It was very straightforward. We implemented it, I think we implemented it very swiftly with you, and it helped us a lot. So not only because of the knowledge, but, you know, we developed our product more. So the product maturity was improved, and the validation of tier one energy utility that says this product works in production on their infrastructure for us opened doors, and that we could not have opened otherwise. So I think the knowledge, the opportunity is really important.
Okay, later on, we did then, so as Verbund Ventures, all the decision to invest in you and your company. And how, from your perspective, did then the collaboration change, or maybe also the impact? Because it's also another thing if you have a reference to a customer or you have a utility CVC on your cap table. Was there something you recognized afterwards?
Yes, of course. So the great part and the smart thing was that you've made the investment only after the technical demo was done and the solution was implemented. So that sequence, I think, matters a lot. And Verbund, of course, saw the technology work in their own operations before they invested. So when the round actually happened, we weren't only selling you a pitch. As you remember, we had something already implemented. So I think the capital was very meaningful. But capital was, I don't think, the essential thing here. So I think the credibility, the depth of the relationship, and the long-term horizon, is the things that we value most out of this endeavor.
So we know each other from two perspectives, being really a client, having this customer-client relationship, and on the other side, being an investor. So what made this role really work well for you and for OKI? Maybe you can share some experiences in this respect.
Sure. I think the first thing that really made it work is the people. So I think the team that we were exposed to, Franz and the Verbund X team, really understand both sides of both the let's say the technical side and also the capital side. They understand very well the utility operations and startup dynamics, and this is rarer, honestly, than it should be. And I think secondly, what has worked very well was the sequencing that we have mentioned. So venture client first and investor second. So this order, I think, is the reason why it worked really well. And on my advice to founders, I would say when a corporate invites you to an accelerator, to treat it, the operational collaboration, as a prize, not the investment. This would be my advice. And in the investment, if it comes, it is a consequence of value created and not really the goal. So this would be my advice.
Yeah, thanks for this advice, Matti. And maybe one further question. What's your long-term perspective on OKI? If you look back maybe 15, 20 years, what do you like to have to build out with this company?
Sure. Look, it's very hard to predict. And you, as you know, regulatory changes all the time. But in essence, I believe that due to forecasting always being a critical layer, and if you have to look, you know, towards the future at, you know, fully decentralized electrified grid, you will have millions of generation points. You should have hundreds of millions of flexible loads, you know, and probably a physical grid not yet designed for any of this. In my opinion, you will not be able to operate all of this on schedules. You will have to operate it on a continuous probabilistic forecasting system, which works at every node. So if we have to, you know, analyze the last decade in terms of forecasting, I think it was all about renewables forecasting. If we have to look towards the future, it's going to probably be more focused on consumption with a lot of sophistication for EV charging behavior, as I said previously, the heat pumps, cycles, industrial flexibility, and of course the data center load, which I mentioned. So if we get it right, I think forecasting, you know, becomes the energy system intelligence. And if we get it wrong, you know, the transition slows down, and not from physics, but from a lot of uncertainty.
Madam, to close our conversation, maybe a question. If we beam ourselves back into 2021, the moment where you decided to start OKI, with all the knowledge and experience you made in the last couple of years, what things would you make differently from the things you did, and what things would you do exactly the same as before? Are there some learnings you like to share? Yeah,
I think two things that I can probably think about when we're talking about differently. So, first of all, I would probably hire senior talent faster, especially technical leadership. So this may be one of the things that I would, and also related to your previous question. And secondly, I would say, you know, that the energy sector does not really forgive mistakes. And in this sense, maybe we were a bit very, you know, too cautious in pushing out the solution to the market. And maybe we could have had a few months extra in time if we would have started selling earlier. But we don't know this yet. So maybe we would have failed otherwise. And the doors would have not opened the same. So this is what I would have probably done differently. In terms of, you know, the same, and I would say that, you know, we resisted the huge temptation to expand into other things, such as optimization, such as trading bots, etc. And we resisted that. So I think staying focused to be the best at forecasting is something that I think was a good decision. And I believe that, we want to become the best forecasting layer in the European energy system. And I think the discipline to stay narrow was important, and it will be the most innovative thing that we may do. So we want to stay at forecasting, we want to become the best at what we're doing, and to be the go-to place for this around the world eventually.
Yeah, that wraps up our conversation quite well, Matti. Many thanks. And many thanks not only for this interview, for our Empowering Tomorrow podcast, but also for all our collaboration. I think it's quite unique that we had this collaboration first with the Verbund Accelerator, then we invested, and then we scaled together, and that we really tackle a problem which is mission critical for the energy system, so to make better forecasting AI in the right way. So it's really a pleasure. So many thanks, Matti, and we're looking forward to an exciting journey together and supporting you further with OKI. Yeah, many thanks.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Franz, and thank you to everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Empowering Tomorrow. Stay tuned for more conversations with the voices shaping the future of energy. If you have enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to Empowering Tomorrow and leave us a review. Your support helps us to bring more fascinating guests and keep the conversation going around innovation, climate tech, and venture capital. And remember, the future of energy depends on the things we do today. Let's empower tomorrow together.